This is January 20th in the year 2001, and this is Bob Gilgore interviewing Ted Stone at his home at 312 McDade Street.
Good afternoon, Ted.
Good afternoon, Bob.
How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Good. First, I want to thank you for taking the time to let me interview you. I appreciate that.
No problem.
I'm going to start with a very broad question, and you can take it, roll with it, and keep on talking until you get tired.
Okay.
And that is, what was it like growing up here in Chapel Hill?
Well, as I remember as a small child, this neighborhood was my complete world. That's all I knew. The neighborhood, the neighbors, the people that grew up here, the kids that grew up here. And I remember if you got in trouble at one end, you would get a whipping from anybody up there that was going to make you grow up to be a better person. And there was a lot of love in this area. We didn't have very much, but who did at that time?
So your neighbor saw you misbehaving?
Oh, yeah.
You would get it from your neighbor, huh?
I would get it from my neighbor and at home.
So they'd tell your parents?
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
Well, another thing you have to realize, too, is I have my mother's sister lives right up the street. My dad's parents live two doors down, and then my family lived three doors down from that. So you got relatives all in there, so you might get a spanking from anybody.
Even the people across the street who weren't?
Anybody in the neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
I guess that's why I have this thought it takes a community to raise a child. And I believe in that.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
I have one sister, a younger sister.
How much difference in age is
4 years.
Is she still in the area?
She's in Greensboro. She's an assistant professor up at UNCG.
Tell me about your mother and father. What were they like?
My mom, who's still living, they were very hard-working people, and they made sure that we lived right, even though my dad was a bit of an alcoholic, and he went to work every day. Just on the weekends, he would come in, would have been drinking, and that would start arguments with my mom. It didn't stop the love between them, but it did cause a lot of friction.
Who was the head of the house?
My mom.
Your mom?
Yeah.
And who disciplined you?
My dad.
And who ran the finances in the house?
My mom.
Your mom. What did your mother do?
My mom was, she was a domestic, she was a maid in a household down at Dr. Lewis Ryan Wilson for 20 years.
And your father?
My father worked at the Kappa Alpha House on campus, and also a domestic worker.
What did he do at the fraternity house?
He cleaned rooms, made up beds, hard jobs around there.
Did they talk about their work when they came home?
Very seldom.
Did they ever involve you in it?
Well, my mom, at times my mom would go down and help my father out down at the Kappa Alpha House, and that she would go down when they would have a party and go in and sit with the girls, pocket purses and coats and things like that, and helped out there. As my father would, he would be like the bartender downstairs, and so, of course, at that time, my sister and I would tag along, and we would be downstairs in that little dance room, and that's where we would spend most of our time, dancing for dollars, we always say.
Did they pay you
to
see a dance at the fraternity brothers?
Yeah, they did.
Was your father rewarded at times by the fraternity with alcohol as a gift?
You know, I really don't remember where Dad got all his alcohol. because he never drank in front of us. It was always he came in and you could tell he'd been drinking. You could smell.
Do you remember the bootleg houses?
Yes.
Can you tell me about them?
Well, what I can tell you about them is that it's what I could tell from the kids that were there and would go in visiting those kids. They were like just about on every corner. I know the neighborhood had at least, from what I remember, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them within 300 yards of each other. So that was ample places for people to drink. Well, you know, liquor by the drink was nothing you could, you know, they couldn't find that. And from what I remember, the ABC stores, the closest ABC store was in Durham.
Were the bootleg houses stocked with bonded liquor or White Lightning, or both?
Both. Both that I can remember.
Tell me something about the children you played with. Were they black and white, or were they all black?
Everybody in the neighborhood was black.
So you stayed pretty much right here on the street to play.
Yeah, this. Yeah, you know, you have to remember at that time the atmosphere around us, everything was segregated, as I remember. But I didn't see the first white person until I was like 7 years old. I didn't know that was anything other than the kids that I grew up with. I thought that was, like I said, this was my world. This is as far as I went. And, you know, as we start venturing off more and more, my world started expanding. You know, I could see the difference, but my mom and dad always said, well, stay away. You have to be back here. You know, we were taught growing up that you had to be in your own place.
Was church part of your life?
Yes, big part of it. You know, my mom was, she was very, very, and still is very religious. And I grew up in the church, and I have a lot of fond memories of the church. And most of my memories are not a part of the church, but most of it's a part of the neighborhood.
Do you remember what kind of a house you grew up in? What it looked like physically?
Oh yeah.
Can you describe it?
Well, it was a four-room house, one bath. We had a living room, a kitchen. My mom and my sister slept in one room, and my father and I slept in another. That was a big. And I remember in winters, you could almost feel air coming through the walls. But my parents did the best they could and burned all heat. Wood heat, whatever kind of heat we could get, they could afford.
Did you have a stove that heated the place?
A potbelly stove.
Potbelly stove. Did the roof leak?
I don't remember the roof leaking. No.
Did you have plastic on the windows?
Oh yeah, that's the only way you could keep the air.
And what about the cracks in? Wall of the house. I assume it was a wood frame house.
Yeah, it was a wood frame house, and the walls were pretty much plaster. But I don't remember any big cracks in the wall. Nothing that you could actually see through.
So it sounds as though you didn't grow up with a lot of money.
Oh no, not a lot of money. Back in those days, if you got a quarter, you had a bunch.
Did you feel poor?
No. But at that time, I didn't know what poor meant. You know, and my parents always, there was always food on the table, always love. I remember at times the lights being turned out, but I didn't think about it because I was a kid. Those things didn't matter to me.
The lights were turned out because an electric bill wasn't paid?
Right. In one incident that the lights were turned out, and they would stay out for a while. I don't know, I can't remember whether they were turned off because of lack of payment or whether it was doing a snowstorm or something like that. I remember everything revolved around the living room where the pot by the stove was. Mom cooked there, we heated there, she ironed there. Everything was done right there. But I can't remember why the lights were out. Because the lights went out so many times as a kid, when it snowed, when Hazel came through, and those types of things. I remember all of that. But I can't remember the actual sequence of when certain things happened.
That's a long time ago.
Oh yeah.
Did you feel that growing up was a happy time for you?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I would trade nothing for my childhood. Nothing. The worst thing that happened to me during my childhood was, I think I was in the eighth grade, I believe it was, when my father came and got me out of school because my grandmother passed. My grandmother was a big part of my life, you know. And when she died, it seemed like for the longest time, my world had just came apart.
What role did she play in your life?
Well, you know, like remember, like when going down to visit grandma, and she lived in Chatham County. We would have to catch a bus down or go down with my aunt, but it seemed like it was nobody as special to her as I was. But she would shower me with so much love, kisses, anything I wanted, she would give to me. But, you know, I didn't want much. I just wanted to be her, you know, the apple of her eye. And I guess she showed that to all the grandkids. That's what was 25 of us.
Oh, wow.
So, those are the type of things I remember as a child.
What about school? When did you start school?
Well, I started school in 1954, first grade at Northside Elementary School.
So you were born in 48?
48, yeah.
And you went to Northside?
Yeah.
54. That's what, 4 or 5 years before they changed the name?
No, it was Northside at that time.
It was Lincoln for, well, that was in the late 40s that they changed.
They changed the name
to Lincoln.
Yeah.
Then Lincoln, they opened the new Lincoln in 51.
Yeah.
Then that became Northside.
Right.
And Northside was originally Orange County Training School.
Correct.
And why did they change the name from Orange County Training School to Lincoln?
I think it was the connotation that it had. All training schools during the time that I grew up, when you heard training school, you thought of young people in prison going to some kind of training school, reformatory school.
So, what do you remember about going to Northside?
Always being late to school, and I didn't. You know, growing up here, Northside is what, maybe 500 yards from my doorstep. But it wasn't because I didn't get out of the house on time. It's just I saw so much to do before I got there.
Uh-huh.
And I would always be just about the last one dragging in.
What did you do before you got this one?
Oh, I would stop and play, you know, pick up rocks and throw them in. Sticks, move sticks from one side of the street to another. Anything to delay going to school.
Oh. Was this street paved down here?
Back when I was 5 or 6, this one was. It was paved down until the next corner. Not greatly paved, but it was paved.
Uh-huh.
Everything else in the neighborhood was dirt streets.
So there were a number of areas here that were not paved.
Yeah.
What about running water? Did most of the homes have running water?
Most of the All the houses that I went into, they did.
Uh-huh.
They did, yeah.
What about sewer? Did they have sewer? Did they have toilets in the house, or did some of them have outhouses?
Some of them had outhouses. I know, I remember at least three that had outhouses.
And what about electricity? Did most or all of the houses have electricity, or did some of them not have electricity?
That one I have to think about, because it seems like there was at least one or two that had, that didn't have electricity. Everything was done by, well, they lit by candles, they cooked by on a stove.
So you had pockets here within the black community.
Oh yeah.
Where things were pretty basic.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Was there a social level, socioeconomic level, where some people were upper class and some people were lower class? Did you see any of that?
Well, now that I look back on it, what I remember of this particular neighborhood is that everybody around here, with the exception of maybe three or four people, were considered, you know, about the same. Then there was another level that once you passed over, you got up here to Church Street. Now these are things that the way I viewed them, and for me, it may not have been in, but it always seems that there were.
And what made that level different?
Well, to see it when we went to school, that's where I first noticed it in school, how they separated certain people, because, you know, the way I look back, when I look back on it, they always had some people in this class that they considered smarter, but there was never any testing to do that. And then there was this other section, and then another section, like, we had a lot of people from, that was, that were coming in from rural areas into the school, they would be in one class. Then the people in my neighborhood would be in another. Then the people outside our neighborhood would be in another class.
So they separated them according to neighborhoods,
yeah,
in the classroom.
Yeah.
Did you feel that there was any difference in the way people were treated depending on the lightness or darkness of their skin?
Well, not at that time. I didn't see it, but you know, as I grew older, the older I grew, I saw that some people looked at lighter-skinned people with a different attitude. Because I guess one reason it didn't bother me that much was because my mother was lighter, my father was dark, my mom was light.
Was that a common thing to see, a light mother and a dark father?
Yeah.
How were you treated differently if you were lighter skinned? Treated better or treated worse?
I think they were treated better. At least that's the way it seemed. It could have, you know, I can't really say, because, you know, I consider myself in between. I'm not as dark as some people. I'm not as light as some. But I have spoken to people that said, well, you know, I'm a lot lighter. I can get by with a lot more than you can. You know, not saying that it was for me, but I got that feeling. I know, but then maybe one or two people did say that they did feel that, but it never really bothered me.
What about hairstyle? Did that have anything to do with how you were treated? If you had long hair versus nappy hair?
Well, I don't think it had much to do with it. The people that were, as I could grow older, that saw black people, they didn't care if your hair was nappy or straight or whatever. You were just black. So, but then other people, it didn't bother them at all. It really didn't bother them at all.
Let's go back to Northside School.
Mm-hmm.
And, tell me what you remember about Northside.
I just about remember the first day to the last. from different teachers, Ms. Gerald, Ms. Lampley. Those were my first 2 years. One of those times, you had the same teacher first through third, and then fourth through the sixth. The same teacher every year. Right, playing football out on the side of the building, pulling little girls' pigtails. We did it all. We did it all.
Did you know your teachers outside of school?
Well, Ms. Lampley, I knew her, well, basically through my father, because her husband cut my hair. He was the first person to cut my hair, and up until the time he passed away. And Ms. Gerald lived in the house up on the corner.
So they lived in the neighborhood?
Well, Ms. Gerald was like renting a room up here, because she was from out of town. And Ms. Lampley, she lived up on Rosemary Street, on the corner of Rosemary and North Graham Street. So I guess you could say they were in the immediate neighborhood, but not the cluster right in the middle of it.
Did they know your parents?
Both of them knew my parents. There again, my aunt, my mom's sister, she was a cook at Lincoln. She was the head cook at Lincoln High School. So everybody knew, and then everybody knew my dad because he grew up right here. As a matter of fact, the house we're in right now is where he grew up.
Was that a good thing, that the teachers knew your parents?
In a way, some things you thought you could get away with because they did know your parents. But you knew you couldn't get away with so much because they did know your parents, and they could get in contact with them in a hurry.
So if you misbehaved?
Oh, you misbehaved, that was it. Because back in those days, you could get punished in school.
So you get punished in school, and then you tell your parents?
Then you got to go home and get another spanking at home for being bad at school.
Double trouble, huh?
Double trouble.
It sounds as though the rules were pretty much set for you.
Oh, yeah.
Life was regulated.
Oh, very much so.
But you didn't find it, or did you find it unpleasant?
Well, I look back at it, you know, a lot of times I sit back and think, if those things didn't happen to me, what kind of person would I be? I think that the neighborhood molded my character. It molded who I am. And I think that would be better for a lot of kids today.
Where did you think you learned your values?
Most of my values I learned from my mom. I learned from my mom and my aunts and uncles. But it was, like I said, my character was molded right here.
The church?
The church was a part of it. Even school, the teachers, the principal. And see, that was another one, the principal of Northside High School and my father grew up together.
Mr. Peace?
Mr. Peace,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did your teachers teach values besides academics?
They taught them in a way that you just kind of absorbed them. You absorbed them without really knowing you were learning. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Did you look forward to going to school every day?
Most of the time, yeah, until we could get a snow day. I love the snow day. Get outside and play in the snow. Play until the hands and feet get so cold you didn't feel it.
What kind of games did you play at the Northside?
Well, mainly, you know, I played with most of the boys, and we would play in the first before school and then after school. We'd play football when it was warm enough, and then in the spring we'd play baseball, kickball, volleyball, stuff like that.
A lot of sports.
A lot of sports, yeah.
Was the street in front of the school big?
Nope.
So you had a mud road there?
Yeah, well, wasn't much of a road, as close as you could get. Because remember, I'm walking up the hill over here, and the only road was coming in from the side there on Carwell Street, and it only came in 10 to a small parking lot. And then the buses came around on the backside, and that part was paved when you come into the back of the school.
In your home, were you encouraged by relatives or your parents regarding school?
Well, from the time that I can remember, my dad would always say, I want you to go on, I want you to do more than just graduate from high school. I want you to go on to college and be a better person than I am. And that came from my mom, too.
What about your grandparents? Did they influence you that way?
Well, my grandmother did. She, you know, my grandma wanted everybody to go to school as far as they could.
Do you remember when you were at Northside, whether you had an encyclopedia at home?
No.
Did you have a dictionary?
No.
Did you subscribe to the newspaper?
No.
And what about books?
The only books we had were books that that we got at school, which wasn't very, was very few, and the books my dad bought from down at the Kappa Alpha House.
So he brought some old books.
Old used tech books that most of the time were too, it was too much for an elementary child to understand. But we played with them anyway.
Now, what about the books at the school, elementary school? Were they new books or?
No. My entire time at elementary school, I don't remember having not one new book.
So they were all used?
All used.
Where did they come from?
But that I couldn't tell you. I really don't know. Because I know when we got our books, we were always told to put our name and the school year in it. And by the time we put our names in it, there was at least 7 or 8 kids' names above ours. So the books were quite old when we got them.
Were your parents involved in the school at all?
Well, I think my mom was involved with the PTA. My dad was working so much, he very seldom had any time to do anything other than to work.
Did you ever go to a PTA meeting with your mom?
Yeah, I went to one or two.
What were they like?
You know, the few that I went to, what I remember from them, playing with other kids. Because,
uh-huh.
You know, wherever your parents had to go during those times, you had to go with them because we were too small to stay at home by ourselves.
Did your mom go to almost all the PTA meetings, or did she go to a few? Or?
I think she just went to a few.
Uh-huh.
But it was not uncommon for her to show up at school at any time to come in and try to help teacher do things around there. Like I remember several times doing parties. It could have been from notes that the teacher sent home. But we were always bringing notes home. Them coming to help serve or just trying to help out around the school. Yeah.
Are there any other memories you have of Northside that share?
Well, I think my most vivid memory of Northside was the day that Hurricane Hazel came through and they dismissed school early. And out of all the kids in the school, I was the last one to get home. And I hadn't even got home. I was actually down the street, walking up the street, limbs falling all around me. And that didn't bother me. My mom came out the house and she grabbed me. Oh boy, she beat me all the way home. I do remember that.
She was upset that you were going to get hurt.
She didn't know where I was, the one first thing, and my safety. That was the main reason, but I knew from then on when the weather was bad, and you out of school, you go home. That was a vivid lesson.
That sounds it.
So you stayed at Northside from 54 to 60?
Yes.
And then 1960, where did you go?
I went to Lincoln High School.
That was 7th grade?
Yes. At that time, Lincoln was 7th through 12th grade.
And what was Lincoln High School like?
Oh, that was a big change for me. Yeah. It seemed like that was when I started really growing up. Going down, walking through, we had to walk all the way to school. No buses. And from here to Lincoln High School was what, a mile and a half, we had to walk every day, to and from. But learning how to change classes, I never known that. And that's where I really started seeing the separation of classes, to them, as we call them now, separation of classes. Like you had the way they described them then was for 7th grade, the top echelon class was 7-1, then there was 7-2 and 7-3. 7-3 were the slower learners, and I was in the middle. And I always felt like at that time that I didn't feel like I was a dummy. I felt like I could learn just like anybody else. But that's what I was doing from Lincoln. And been able to participate in going to the Lincoln High School football games, basketball games, and being a part of the student body.
Were you into any of those activities? Did you play ball there or play or sing?
Well, in the 7th grade, you were more, you couldn't play the high school sports. You had to be in the 9th grade to start in high school sports. It was my first year I've been able to learn anything about anything musical. So the only thing we got to do was, mostly Sandlot and intramural stuff.
What were your teachers like at Lincoln?
Well, I remember the two teachers there was Miss Barnes and Miss King. Miss King was from Chapel Hill, so I knew her. She knew me through my aunt. And Miss Barnes, she knew me through my aunt, but she was from Durham. But I thought those were two of the neatest people you could ever meet. But they always took time with me to help me with problems I was having. In certain subjects like science and literature. Those are my two types of subjects.
So they gave extra time to you?
I felt like they did. They didn't really have to, but they did.
Did other teachers do that as well?
Well, those are the only two teachers I had.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How long did you stay at Lincoln?
1 year.
Do you remember the principal?
Yeah, Mr. McDougal? Yeah.
Does he stand out in your mind?
Well, what stands out in my mind with Mr. McDougal was he was a very fair principal, but he was very strict too. Yeah, and I remember his walk and the way he walked and the little song he always was singing.
How did he walk and what was his song?
He had this little swagger about him with his hand. He always kept his hands grasped together in the back behind him. And he would sing like, doo, 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 all down, up and down the hall.
Was he at the door in the morning to greet students?
I don't remember him being there, but I always remember him being down at the hall because the high school students, the students in the 9th to the 12th grade came in on one side, and 7th and 8th graders always had to walk completely around the school to get to the other end to come in. So we didn't get to walk in the same.
I see. So if he was at the high school end,
we wouldn't see that.
Did he get on the loudspeaker system?
Every morning.
What did he say?
He would make announcements of what was happening and doing the events of the day, telling us how to prepare for things going on later on in the week. It was more like this is the schedule, this is how it's going to be. And then whenever you heard him call people to the office, you knew somebody was in trouble.
Did they always go to the office?
They always had to go to the office.
They didn't hide, huh?
No, they couldn't hide. If you hid one day, you knew you had to come back.
So how would you characterize your memories of Lincoln? You had two teachers that you really liked.
Yep.
Principal who sounded like he was a strict disciplinarian.
Right. But overall, if I had to categorize that one year at Lincoln, I would give it a high mark, well above good, but not quite excellent, because it was very educational for me. You know, it kind of set the tone for the latter part of my high school education.
Did you think you learned more at Lincoln than you did at Northside?
Yeah. Well, it was a little higher standard. I wouldn't say I learned more. I guess it was what I had to learn during that period of time. Another thing I just thought about is what I started noticing during that time at Lincoln. That was when the civil rights struggle first started. I became aware of it, I should say. When I saw, you know, the older kids and the kids in the high school starting to do protests and sit-ins and stuff like that.
That was in Colonial Drug, the first demonstration in 1960.
Yeah, I remember very distinctly one night being at the church, at our church, and the Lincoln High School chorus sang there, and they left the church and went straight down to the Colonial Drugs and did a sit-in right there. I do remember that day, and from that point on, I started, you know, getting myself more involved in sit-ins and marches and stuff.
How did your parents feel about that?
Well, I think I really don't know how my mom and dad really thought about it. They wanted to shelter me from it, I guess. But they knew there was something that had to be done, because they were the ones that started me in this trek to get integration started in the school system. So I think it must have been the time.
So your parents wanted you to go to an integrated school?
It was their idea, not mine.
Did you want to go to the integrated school, or had your choice, would you rather stay in Lincoln?
Looking back on it, you know, it's great that I did it the way I did it, but if I had had my choice, I would have preferred to stay in Lincoln, because that's where all my friends were.
So you stayed at Lincoln for the
seventh grade.
In 1960, 61.
Right.
And in 61, where did you go to
school? Chapel Hill Junior High School.
The one out of Franklin.
Right.
For University Square.
Mm-hmm.
And were you the first African-American student to go to that white school?
I was the first African-American admitted into the Chapel Hill Carver City School System. And there was three others that we all went there the first year together. There was three of us in the eighth grade and one in the ninth.
Did your minister have any influence on where you went to school?
Not the minister at my church, but Reverend Manley did. Reverend Manley he was the minister of my father's church. And at that time he was on the school board. And he was one of the key reasons that I remember him coming in and talking to my mom and my dad, telling them how important it would be for us to apply. Because I think the main reason they wouldn't let the other kid in that actually was the first kid to apply to go to integrate the school system is because where he lived. They said he would be going out of his school district. And by me being within three blocks of the school, I guess that was what got me in first.
What was it like?
It was a whole new world. Going in, being called names, being spit on, hit. I remember one time I was standing in the hall, confused on which way I was supposed to go. This one kid just walked by and just punched me in the stomach for no reason. But I can't say everybody was like that because there was several kids in the school that treated me just like I'd been there the whole time. And one of them, as a matter of fact, one of them is still a very good friend of mine today. And I see him, we speak several times a year. You may know him, Robert Humphreys. He was a very good friend of mine. He helped me out quite a bit.
Did you see any difference in the teaching at Chapel Hill Junior High School versus Lincoln?
Oh, it was a big world of difference. You know, like I said, at Lincoln High School, I only had two teachers. At Chapel Hill Junior High, I had a different teacher for every class. And you had a homeroom teacher. At Lincoln, your homeroom teacher, she was a homeroom teacher and taught three or four other subjects. And then the teaching styles, and some things I caught on, very quickly, like math. Math has always been a subject that I had very little problems with. English. But then still I had problems with literature and science. And then when problems got so bad, my mom called down to Lincoln and talked to Miss King and Miss Barnes. And I would actually go from one school to the other and for them to go and help me out.
So you didn't get the help at the junior high, you went back to Lincoln?
Well, I wouldn't say I didn't get it. It's just that I guess I felt more comfortable with the extra work kind of from teachers that I already knew.
Did you feel I assume all the teachers were white.
Yes.
Did you feel that you got the same treatment as the white students did from the white teachers?
From what I remember, most of the teachers treated me very fairly. At a time too, by me being the majority of the classes I was in, it was me being the only black in that class. I felt myself being kind of toning myself back because I didn't want to feel, I don't want to seem like I was stupid or something like that. I felt like I was not as smart as some of the kids. But gradually that grew off. I guess it's because I wasn't familiar with the people I was around.
Are there any particular teachers that you remember years later who were influential in your life or who you remember as people who really cared for you as a person?
Well, the teachers that really jumped out at me that came along when I was going on to Chapel Hill High School, and one being Miss Bernard, Miss Simpson, and the principal, and for the sake of me, I can't think of her name.
May Marshbanks?
Miss Marshbanks. Yeah. Miss Marshbanks, I thought was one of the coolest women I had ever met.
Now, the problems that you just described about being called names and spit on and being pushed around, how long did that last?
Well, that lasted most of the first year, my eighth grade year. Because the following year, my ninth grade year, uh, remember about 16 other black students came. And I was starting to be more accepted with those people, you know, people that always was already there. So I started feeling more comfortable. But then too, at that time, it seemed like a lot of those people that were showing their hatred for black people started being pushed back by other whites. That's the way I remember it.
So the ones who were the bad seeds were being pushed back by the good people?
The people that accepted me, you know, a lot easier than other people.
Are there any other memories that stand out in your mind, Ted?
Well, the only thing is I really remember about those times was the fact that my father, he worked, the fraternity house that he worked at was directly behind the junior high school. And we didn't have, we didn't have a lot of money, and I started noticing that about that time. Couldn't even afford to give me to buy my lunch every day. I would have to go across the parking lot, the playground, and meet him at a hole in the fence for him to give me lunch.
So he'd get the lunch from the fraternity house?
Yeah, and bring it to him and give it to me. It was always a good hot meal, and some of the other kids would look at me and say, where did he get that food? Those type of things like that I remember.
So you remember the difference in the economics of the students?
Yeah. You know, even though at Lincoln, when I was at Lincoln for that 1 year, you could see some economic difference between some classes of people, but when I went to a predominantly white school, it was a great big jump between one to the other. And I felt so inferior in that regard, because I'd never had any money or anything.
What about the students who were the children of professors at the university? Do you remember them, their experience versus your experiences?
Well, the first year at Chapel Hill Junior High School, I didn't socialize quite a bit with a lot of kids, because they're, I'm coming from people, unfamiliar people. I would go to school, participate in class, get out of school, come home. When I got home, there were my friends coming in from Lincoln, and everything else didn't matter. It was just, we got to play together.
Did your mother go to the PTA meetings?
No, she didn't.
Can you mention that?
Okay.
So I was asking you about the PTA meetings and whether your mother went to them when you went to Chapel Hill Junior High and then Chapel Hill Senior.
No, my mom didn't participate in PTA at that time.
Can you remember why? Was there any discussion of this, or do you have any thoughts about it now?
Well, thinking back on it, my mom was, she was, I would guess it because of, she came up in a totally different generation, is that she kind of stayed away for the main reason, because she wouldn't feel comfortable in that situation. But then, and also, I had a younger sister that was still at Northside, but she still participated there with my sister. So I don't think it was because she loved my sister more, it's just that she felt more comfortable there.
So you spent 1 year at the junior high school?
2 years.
2 years. Eighth and ninth grade?
Eighth and ninth grade.
Uh-huh. And then to?
Then I went next door to Lincoln to Chapel Hill High School.
Was that any different for you, the Chapel Hill High School out on Franklin Street?
Well, it was a little bit different. Like I said, the more I went, the more relaxed I got, the more into everything, social life, starting to participate in different school activities, such as I got on the football team, went out for basketball one year. But as I remember, everything started loosening up. Plus, there were more and more of my friends coming in. You know, it seemed like every year there was more and more and more.
And you felt, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you felt as more African-Americans came into the school, there was less of this bumping in the hallways and name-calling?
Well, you still got an occasional name-calling, but there was, I don't remember any physical violence towards me, or maybe a couple of other kids that may have said something about it, but I don't remember it actually happening where I could see it. But it was, my being more relaxed was, I guess it was a combination of things, because I was there, and the other students, the white students, were becoming more familiar to me. And then there was more friends coming in that I'd gone to elementary school and went to 1 year at Lincoln.
When you got to the high school, were there very many blacks that were at Chapel Hill High School on Franklin Street when you got there?
When I got there, let's see, it was in the 10th grade, it was about 15 or 16 of us. And the 11th grade, that's the class with Sheila, it was maybe 8 to 10 of them in that class, with nobody in the senior class.
And you say you played sports there?
Yeah, yeah.
How did that work out?
For me, I guess it worked out fine my first 2 years. I played JV my first year in the 9th grade, but the JV schedule at that time, you only had one other school you played against, and that was Jordan High School, and we played them twice. And when we played on Thursday night, and then once my friends that went to Lincoln found out that I was playing that night, bunch of them would come out and watch us play. And to look over and see your friends over there rooting you on, that meant a lot. And at that time, it was 5 of us on the JV team. And we were all in class together. And then the next year, we all had to move. We moved up to the varsity. And I did a lot of bench time then. So in my senior year, I felt like I was being looked over, but I wasn't. Now that I look back, I really didn't apply myself that as properly as I should. So it was nobody's fault for me not getting more playing time but my own. But that's as I see it now. Then I didn't see it that way, so I quit the team.
Did you feel you were treated any differently by the whites who were athletes versus those who were in your classroom and were not athletes?
Well, you know, I think that the athletes accepted me a lot easier. Yeah. And that was not, well, I don't think that was just me. It was everybody. They saw that we were just equal to them athletically as anybody else. So they just pulled us right in.
There wasn't racial strife on the team?
Well, I don't remember seeing any, but I'm fairly sure it was some there, but it never came out per se. It came out when you played other teams.
How so?
At that time, the only team that the schedule that Chapel Hill High School had, all the other schools had no black athletes except maybe one.
Okay. so when you were playing the bar on the varsity,
yeah,
or riding the bench,
yeah,
on the varsity, and you had a full schedule.
Had a full schedule, and played throughout the conference and a couple of games outside the conference. I remember going down to Fayetteville, and then down to Wilmington to West Hanover High School, and there were no blacks to be found. But the guys that were on our team, you know, don't worry about it. You're with us.
So the white students were the athletes there, protected you in a way?
I would say so.
But the white students from the other school, what sorts of things happened?
That took me back to my first year at Chapel Hill Junior High School, being called names and stuff being thrown at you. It's been spit at. Never spit on, but spit at. Those were all the away games. It didn't happen at games at home.
How did you handle that?
Well, Coach kind of expected it. He had gotten us together, and the black kids on the team, and he told us what to expect. And plus, there had been one other kid that was already on the varsity. One other black kid already on the varsity had done it the year before by himself. And his first year playing with them, he made All-State. So I guess that kind of helped ease myself and the four others on in a lot easier.
How did you handle the first year of junior high school when you saw this physical intimidation and the verbal abuse?
Well, during that time, the very first time it happened, I was on the verge of just turning around and coming back home and telling Mom I wasn't going to do it. But then I said, I'll stick out the first day. And then I came home and told Mom.